here we go.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
I'll be back.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
I see dead people.
My precious!
From the prime time, bitch!
E.T. Home phone.
Say hello to my little friend!
Bond. James Bond.
Here's Johnny.
When the 15th level, you're coming out.
You shall not pass.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
It's alive.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Get away from her, you bitch.
But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
To infinity and beyond!
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
I am gonna kill Bill.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Houston, we have a problem.
Are you not entertained?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
People, welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 104!
I wish I did this episode 420.
That's a long ways away.
Long ass way to go, though. But anyway, though, still, people, I think by that time we'll run out of film. People, I'm your spoiler host with the most phenomenal one.
And this is Z.
Oh, and we're here to talk about a lovely, lovely day. Oh, no, not Mad Max. We're here to talk about Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay. Which, I'm not gonna lie, it's the most believable pothead movie I've ever watched, probably.
This is literally, literally, the most offensive movie you could probably ever watch.
You know, what was the most believable part of being a pothead in this movie? Which scene it was?
What's that?
MPH, baby. Motherfucking MPH.
He's great in this.
That motherfucker sold that shit. Seriously, like, man, that dude, when he said, did you see that fucking unicorn? He had me looking behind my TV saying, damn, yeah, where did that unicorn go?
And he was on shrooms, too.
Yeah. He was so fucking believable. That shit was awesome. I love the fuck out of that guy. That guy is fucking, he is a national treasure. Next to Nicolas Cage.
He's awesome. This is actually probably, like, next to How I Met Your Mother and Doogie Howser, probably his best role.
That's because he don't get that many movie roles. I mean,
he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I was going to say, he doesn't really give a fuck, but, you know, he did the voice for Under the Red Hood and Nightwing, too, and he sounded, you know, when you see Neil Patrick Harris, you would never think, oh, yeah, that's Nightwing right there, but when he heard his voice attached to it, he's like, god damn, he got the personality down of Nightwing. I was like, man, he might make a badass Nightwing one day.
And he was in Gone Girl, right?
Yeah. Even though he didn't really have much to do in there, but he's good in it for the little bit he was in there.
Yeah, like, because I liked the first one. I watched that before I watched Guantanamo Bay. And I liked him in the... I rewatched it, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And I really liked him in that one. Because, you know, he was, like, tripping balls, as he said. And
this one was my favorite.
This is your favorite? I never saw a Christmas one.
The Christmas one, it was cool. I thought this was the best one of, for me, it was the best one with Neil Patrick Harris. I laughed my ass off of him.
This is this generation's Cheech and Chong?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Cheech and Chong kind of all day, every day high, but you know. Yeah. I mean, at least they did it in kind of moderation. Cheech and Chong, As soon as they popped on screen, they were already fucked up. He's like, damn, they didn't even light shit up or whatever. They already hot.
And what's weird is that when they did White Castle, Cal Penn and John Cho, they were pretty much nobodies. They were the...
If I'm not mistaken, Cal Penn, didn't he work for the president?
Yes, he was on House for a bit, and then he committed suicide, and then he worked for Obama as a media, I don't know, something, he worked this for Obama.
Yeah, wasn't he the administrator or something like that? I know he worked with Obama or something like that. I was like, God damn, he's that smart?
It was the associate director of the White House Public Engagements.
I don't even know what the fuck that is, but it sounds important. All right, then.
Hey, man, you know, that's a cushy gig.
Yeah, I don't know how the fuck he got it, but, you know, can you imagine if this was the movie that made Obama give him that job?
Yeah.
Oh, and my favorite part, too, George W. Bush.
Yeah.
who played that as George W.? That was, spot on.
His name's James Adelman.
Man, the people I've seen dressed up like George Bush... That must be the easiest costume to pull off for white men because, man, mm-hmm. they seriously nailed that shit for the three times I didn't seen it on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God damn, dude, that looks so good. And I love how he gave that important-ass speech, and then he was just like, God damn, that's some good shit. I'm gonna fuck right now. And I was like, yeah, that's the George Bush I know. See, yeah.
That was probably the best impersonation of Bush you could ever see. I mean, remember years ago, Comedy Central did a show called That's My Bush?
Yeah.
And this one was 10 times better than that one.
I was going to say, even Will Ferrell did a whole stand-up as George W. Bush, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty, his impersonation was good. And Mad TV, yeah, Frank Caliendo that did it. And you got the great Josh Brolin that played in W.
Yeah. And this one was the most realistic George Bush.
Hey, the Frank Caliendo from Mad TV, that one was kind of realistic, too, in a way, when he said, to simply put it, I just don't give a fuck, you know? That's like, yeah, that sounds like Bush, yeah, he don't give a fuck, yeah.
Well, Frank Caliendo, he's that guy is amazing.
Oh, yeah, that guy is hilarious as shit. I missed his last stand-up he had a year ago. I need to try and find it, because he did some great impersonations like John Madden and George Bush.
Oh, his Madden is spot on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Bush is always... Bush is such a fucked up president. It's just so fun to pick on him that it's easy in a way. But when you can nail it, you fucking nail it. And like, that'd probably be the funniest thing out of anything you do, too, if mm-hmm. you can nail that shit perfectly.
Yeah, and this was a very, very good impersonation.
I like how he's like, did Cheney send you? Man, that guy scares me.
I wonder if Bush seen this. I bet you he does. I bet you he's seen every impersonation that's been done of him.
Oh, yeah. He's gotten hot at each one of them. Come on. You know he smokes weed. Come on. Everybody knows that shit.
Yeah,
no secret.
Yeah, I love the hypocritical, why don't you just make it legal? He goes, you know how my dad would think?
Arnold did the same goddamn thing, trying to ban video games, and what this motherfucker do when he leaves the governor? That motherfucker goes back doing radar shoot-em-up movies, so...
Yeah, government's hypocritical.
Yeah, oh yeah, every one of them were. I mean, Arnold ain't did a fucking movie about killing someone since he's left that goddamn office. And yet, this motherfucker talking about video games are bad for the youth. It's like, motherfucker, you ain't had not one PG or PG-13 movie since you got back in the movies now.
I'm pretty sure video game sales are a huge thing for Microsoft and Sony.
Yeah, I would agree to it.
I mean... It's not going to, put them out of business, but it helps them. I mean, that's what? What do you think, about 10 million, maybe more?
I was going to say, Grand Theft Auto 5 is still selling. I think it's, the number 4 highest-selling game of this year still.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, that game came out 2 years ago.
And Arnold doesn't realize that there's also learning games for kids in school.
Thank you. Yeah, there you go. Oh, my God. I was going to say, there's even fucking fitness games and shit like that, right?
That's just laziness.
Yeah, it really is fucking laziness. I mean, come on now, you get your ass. I mean, but you know, if it helps, it helps. I mean, if it, the way I see it, I think it's, I don't know, I think it's stupid as fuck. But hey, if it gets you moving and you know, doing, I guess on those Wii Fits or whatever, those Fit Pads that they got, if it gets you moving and doing something or whatever, hey, then good for you, man. You know, I can't knock you if that's how you getting your workout on.
At least you're sitting there doing something.
Yeah. I mean, and to be honest, you know, video games, they kind of help you think critical because you have to kind of put almost every video game is kind of like a puzzle. You kind of have to think outside the box to get past the level or something like that. So I think they help your brain think a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a movie. See, I'm a plot synopsis.
Harold and Kumar escape from Guantanamo Bay. Directed by John Hurwitz and Hayden Schlossberg. Two directors. That's weird.
That is weird.
Starring John.
Is it a teen or a normal teen?
Let me look. They both directed. Well, they both wrote the three. John wrote Scary Movie 3, which.
I don't even remember which one that was. So.
Yeah, it looks like they're a team. It looks like everything they've done, writing and directing. Starring John Cho, Cal Penn, Daniel Harris, Rob Corddry, Neil Patrick Harris. Budget $12 million, box office $43 million, and it's right after their first one here, when they go to White Castle and they go to Amsterdam, and Kumar starts making a homemade bong, and they think it's a bomb on a plane. They get sent to Guantanamo Bay. They escape, and they try to go to Texas to have a friend help them and break up a wedding.
Yeah, what kind of ignorant shit is that to bring a bong to the... And who was Maria, man? That's what I want to know. Maria.
That her Paula, name...
Paula Garcia.
Yeah, I think Garces. She has a little thing on top of her name.
That girl is fine as shit.
I think Daniel Harris is hot, too.
No, this girl's hotter, though. That Daniel Harris ain't. Daniel Harris looks like a pile of shit compared to this girl right here. This girl, I got going win right now, says she's probably the finest girl out of all the movies we probably reviewed on Throwback Tuesday. This girl is sexy as shit. I mean, damn.
Yeah, she is. I mean, you won't know her.
Two people. She's Colombian, so get that to your head, too. I mean, she got that. Oh, my God, this girl's fine.
That banging body.
Oh, my God, that body was looking nice in this movie. I don't blame Harold for thinking about this shit the whole way through. Shit, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong now, people, what he was doing, it was kind of a little bit stalkerish.
It was.
But, for this chick, man, shit, and if I was a loser like Harold, you goddamn right I'd go looking for this ass. I mean, come on, you know, good and goddamn well, Harold ain't going to get nothing better than this. I mean.
I'm looking at her resume right now. She has not been in a ton of major things.
Does writing too.
Yeah. She does look like she does a lot of TV stuff. She was in The Shield for a while. SVU.
Who wasn't in that?
Exactly. Who wasn't in that?
I think I was in there one time or something like that. I don't even remember that. That's how good The Shield was.
You were just walking on the street. Hey, they're filming something.
Yeah,
I think
I was walking. They filmed that shit. So, yeah.
No, that was just real cops beating you.
Oh, okay. Whew.
They took that.
I was like, why are they filming this? I was like, oh, I'm a star. I want to be a star. Shit. They was like, that nigga's resistant. Get him. Oh, God damn, this girl. This girl is fine, people. I got to say, she is. Whew. But you know who else had me laughing here, too?
Rod.
Huh?
Or Rob.
Yes, that's right. Rob Corddry, man. This motherfucker was just so outlandish and out there or whatever. Like, and he commits to the role, too. Like, mm-hmm. He commits like a motherfucker to the role. Because I was just like, at what point in his head is he going to stop and laugh and go like, okay, this is a little ridiculous. But no, he committed like a motherfucker to it. And then my best part was when him and Neil Patrick Harris started talking about fucking Starship Troopers.
Oh, my God. I really like him.
Oh, Rob Corddry?
Yeah, I really like him.
Tell it.
There's a movie he was in, it was called Operation Endgame.
Operation, okay, yeah.
I really liked him in that movie. Plus, I liked him in the first Hot Tub Time Machine, too.
Yeah, it's the same, that second one sucked, but, mm-hmm. You know, because I was rooting for the guy, because I think the guy really is, a great actor, especially a comedic actor at that too. He's really good. And here he's like playing probably his most outlandish role ever, and this shit was hilarious as fuck. You remember the scene when the black people, when he went to go talk to the black people?
Yes, and he poured the grape soda.
And then you know what makes this scene funny right here? Because meanwhile, while he's pouring the grape soda, you got this big dude in front of him talking about, what the hell is that supposed to do?
Wasn't that,
You got this one ignorant black dude in the background going, hey, yo, see if he got Kool-Aid.
Who was that black guy? He looked so familiar.
Yeah, he's been in some things. I can't remember what it was, but,
He looks like that Terry Tate linebacker, that commercial they did a long time ago.
Hey, see if you got any Kool-Aid, yo.
That was so funny.
I don't know why, because, like, as he's, like, pouring out soda, everybody just standing there, like, is this, and then I remember that one dude that said pour out the Kool-Aid, you hear him in the background go, like, yo, that's racist, dog.
And it's the same voice. See if he has Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and then
I love the guy's look on his face too, like, yeah, this ain't doing shit for me.
I like his partner, the dude with the glasses, like, because the big black dude, I can't remember his name, but he's looking at the dude with the glasses, and he's just like, is he, like, what is this supposed to do to me? Like, what's going on? And then, like, Rob Corddry is looking at him like, it hurts, doesn't it? Yeah. Pouring this Porsche's grape soda, and then you see all the other black people in the back, and they're just going like, what the fuck is that? What is he doing?
My question is, why did he just have a grape soda in the back of his car?
He's prepared for this, Z. He's prepared.
he has everything, because I was kind of surprised he didn't bring out watermelon or some chicken wings or something.
You're right, though, man. I think this movie hit every stereotype, even the rednecks.
Not too much on the whites, but I think...
Actually, they had a lot about whites. Remember the Klans and all that shit? So.
Well, that's the rednecks.
No, them Klan members was some regular-ass white people. Then you had Bush, too. Don't forget Bush.
Well, yeah. But, like, especially on the plane, when that old lady saw Kumar, she saw a terrorist.
That was another stereotype of white people.
Yeah.
So yeah, they spent a lot on white, man.
And everyone's kept thinking he was saying bomb when he was saying bong. I'm like, that's a two different. That's two letters difference.
What I thought was funny about that was the simple fact that this old white lady, she just because I've made jokes about this before, but it's real people. These airport look like goddamn Republican convention party.
Yeah, man, I'm surprised you didn't get arrested.
I ain't gonna lie, that look she gave Kumar when she saw a terrorist in him. That's how I felt when I got off at his airport. Whenever like every white chick was looking at, even though I had like probably a suit on or whatever, they probably was looking at me and was like, his clothes are baggy. He's got a backwards cap on. He's got a gun. He's dangerous. That shit was so funny because she turns around, she sees everybody all normal, and then she sees the one minority on this airplane who happens to be brown because he's Indian and shit, and she sees automatic terrorists out of his ass. That shit was hilarious as fuck.
It's typical because this was made in 2008 was released.
Oh damn, I'm way off.
So you're 7 years from 9/11.
Yeah.
It's actually true because people still think that nowadays.
Hey, I'm about to say, yeah, they still think that. Yeah, hell yeah.
We are 14 years past, almost, and they still think that.
One of the, I'm not going to say which studio, but I know Z will probably know once I say this. One of the studios, and I'm talking about movie studios, you remember the guy from Silver Lining Playbook? The Indian guy, his therapist?
Oh, yeah.
The security guards at this certain studio thought he was a terrorist when he walked into the building one time.
Are you kidding?
I'm not fucking kidding. This made news like 2 or 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. This made news 3 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I remember I told Sean about it when it happened, and it was the most fucked up thing I had ever seen. I was like, that dude don't even resemble a motherfucker. I was like, what?
And what's funny is that Kumar is Indian from India.
Yeah. Who's a fucking doctor, too, at that, by the way.
Well.
He's studying to be one.
Yeah, I was going to say, he pushed off his med interviews, so.
And, well, at least his father is a known doctor, though. I mean, you know, he's got the credentials backing him up.
And then they thought Harold was, Rod thought, Harold, or Rob thought Harold was, from Korea.
Yeah, from North Korea. He thought he was King Jong. Oh, that interrogation scene was funny as shit, because he was just, that dude with the glass, he said something. I think that was, can't remember his name, but he said some shit. He was just like, it's not in the Bill of Rights, not in the Constitution or whatever. And then he said, go give me a book of the Bill of Rights.
Oh, you're talking when he's talking to the Jewish friends.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right. And then he wiped his ass.
When he pulled out that chain, that pocket change.
Yeah.
And he go, and they go, that's about $7 there.
Hey, that's for you, Cody. Hey, AZ, they picked that shit up, though, didn't they?
They did. That was actually, like, that's why I love Rob, because he made it believable that this FBI agent was racist as fuck.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, if anything, I think the movie, what it does best is it makes fun of these stereotypes that people don't even believe they have of other races and shit. Like the whole thing about, you know, white people see, if they see a brown person, they see, oh, terrorist automatically on a plane, right? Or like black people, they're, even though they're normal, the ones that are playing basketball, they're just normal, regular people.
They wanted to help him fix their car.
They helped him fix their car and shit like that, and they're afraid of him. And then, you know, you got the whole grape soda thing where he's expecting them to, like, freak out and be like, don't waste that grape soda or something. But they just like, what the hell? What was that supposed to mean, man?
I love that when they were playing basketball and they hit the, when they backed up and hit the fire hydrant and they were like, the water went everywhere, it turned the music off.
Jordan, Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan.
Oh shit, my sneakers come.
Oh my
god. And they like, you remember when the big dude grabbed the ball, like, man, they did it so more bullshit.
And they were going to go get him and they were scared and they ran off and they were just going to help him fix their car. You see a guy rolling with a tire.
Did you, okay, you remember when the redneck, when they were petting the deer, and then the redneck shot that deer, and the way he walked over, like fucking Yosemite Sam or some shit like that, I laughed my ass off at how fucking cartoonish this dude was. I was like, oh my god. And then, like, he just stuck a knife in him and started gutting him up and shit. He was like, that's right, me and Raylene here, we're brother and sister. But that don't, you know what she looked like at first? I thought that was Elizabeth Banks when I first saw this movie.
I did too. I mean, Missy Pyle, I don't think she's that hot.
No, she's kind of, looked like she's had some work done on her, but that was just in this, I haven't seen her really in
person. She looks like a painting. She looks like a painting, because her face looks like it drags.
She looks like a man.
Yeah, she does.
Well, in some parts or whatever. I know she was also in, if I'm not mistaken, she was in Gone Girl.
She's in a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah, she's had a lot of stuff in there, but that shit was hair. Oh, you remember when the Cyclops came out and just touched him?
Oh, my God.
That shit scared the fuck out of me. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
I ain't gonna lie, man. You know, because critics tore this movie up, I laughed my ass off when I first saw this, and watching it again, I still laugh my ass off. I thought it really was crazy and out there, but I ain't gonna lie, it had a lot of laughs to give, though.
It's I think one of the major biggest problems is it tried. I mean, the first one's really good for, you know, the adventure comedy. This one, it was the adventure comedy, but it was a lot of coincidence.
I was gonna say, did you think this one? Because like the first one, like you said, it was adventure comedy. Well, they're both adventure comedies. But the first one, it wasn't as far as this one went. Like this one kind of upped the antics of the whole race and thing like that.
I feel like
with adventure comedies, you kind of have to do that in a way because every one of the sequels do that.
Yeah, we saw it with.
You gotta do the same thing. It's like, how can you make it? Like, I mean, that was the same thing The Hangover did, really.
Yeah.
It's like people was criticizing it, but it's like, what else could they fucking do with this shit? I mean,
yeah. That's my biggest complaint with Hangover 2, that it was pretty much the same one as the first one.
They had some good laughs in that second one.
Mm-hmm. But this one, I mean, the first one was...
A lot of people harped on that second one, saying it just did the same thing over, but I was just like, it wasn't the same jokes, though.
It wasn't the same jokes, no. Same plot, yes. Kind of like Taken. Yeah. Same plot. But... I just think that the first one was more realistic.
More organic, probably.
Yes. This one was a lot of forced.
I wouldn't say forced. I would say more of a stretching.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good analogy.
Where you say realistic for the first one, I think you meant more grounded.
Yeah.
I think this one's just a tad bit more cartoonish and shit like that. I think that's probably why I like it.
Which one do you like better?
I like this one better.
You like this one better?
Yeah, I like this one. I was like, fuck it, go all out. I like this crazy shit right here. I mean,
they went all out.
I don't think this one did to where it was offending anyone, to be honest.
No.
I mean, these jokes probably would offend, obviously it's going to offend, everything offends people or whatever, but I thought they did it in a clever way by showing it that this is how the like other races or something like that sees people, and even though they could turn out to be not that stereotype that they portray. I mean, like I said with the black people, they ain't that stereotype in this movie, but that's how the other people see them. Or like Kumar himself, whatever, you know, that's on a plane and people think he's a fucking terrorist just because of the color of his skin. I'm like, yeah, you know. Oh, and then, you know, Rob Corddry being pretty much like the main character of continuing that that cycle of the stereotype to prove that, like, yo, this is a stereotypical movie. I thought he pretty much nailed it with his acting performance. And that shit, when he pulled up Neil Patrick, he's like, stop that car!
Yeah.
Oh, he took his glasses off. I thought he caught him, and he was just like, Neil Patrick, I love you. I was like...
You're the reason. Starship Troopers is the reason I became an agent.
I know. and then he said, Neil Patrick was like, sup.
That's.
Would you
think,
believe MPH is gay after seeing these movies?
No. I don't think he came out at the time, did he?
If I'm not mistaken, he was out.
Was he?
In 08 or 07, one of those.
Because. I'm trying. How I Met Your Mother, I think, started like right after this.
Was it after?
I think so.
That show been on for fucking years.
And watching, seeing his character on that show, you wouldn't believe he's gay watching that either, because I think he's so confident.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, because he became, I can think, a bigger star after How I Met Your Mother.
I was gonna say, how was he? Since I didn't watch it, how was he hosting the Oscars? If you saw it,
He was really good. I mean, he's very funny. And
I didn't hear nothing about him as far as criticism or likes from him.
I think he'd be like a forgotten. Oscars,
people will rip your ass down, or they'll praise the fuck out of you. I didn't hear any news on him.
I think because he would be forgotten. It's kind of like when Anne Hathaway and Franco hosted it. People are gonna remember that because how bad they were.
Yeah.
But with Neil Patrick Harris, I think it's just because he did a good job, people aren't going to remember him. Like, Ellen or Billy Crystal, whoever hosts it, they're going to remember because they have a massive following.
And plus, they were good, too.
Plus, they were good. Harris was really good hosting the Oscars. He's not going to stand out compared to that.
I think after the whole James Franco and... Anne Hathaway thing, I think the writing for the Oscars, they've been toning that shit down a lot.
Yeah. Well, Franco was high. Was he high during that?
They like, we're not having another one of this shit again, so.
No, was it Franco high?
Yeah, he was high, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Plus, because he wasn't getting some sleep or some shit like that because he was studying for his PhD.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Frank, well, then you should have fucking denied this then, you stupid motherfucker. Damn, motherfucker, thanks for fucking it up now. But, no, Neil Patrick Harris, man, he's fucking fantastic, dude, as an actor. I wish the guy personally would get try for more work. I think he'd just be I think he'd be one of the best, not just comedic, but actors all around.
He's a good actor.
Oh, yeah, he's great, man. I love the guy and everything he does. I don't keep up with How I Met Your Mother, but I've seen a couple episodes. I'm like, this guy's really good in that. Mm-hmm. That show, and here, man, he had me laughing as fuck when he finally told them. He's like, oh, we're going to a whorehouse, guys. And he was like, no, Neil, we need to hurry up and get the text. And he was like, I'm going to get my dick wet, okay? You guys don't want to get your dick wet. It's fine about me, but I'm getting my dick wet tonight or whatever.
And he branded.
Dude, I love it because she's screaming, oh, and then she comes in, what happened? He's like, that fucking prick branded me, and he's just like, oh, shut up. And then she's like, I warned you, Neil, and he's like, bring it. And he just walked away.
And then he got shot.
But no, I love what about too. It's like they were gonna leave him, and then he comes out like that laugh he did had me rolling because he was just like ah. And then he looked at the car and saw it moving. He's just like, hey guys, where you going, guys? Hey, hey. And then they shot his ass, whatever. And they was like, no, they shot Dill. And then they opened his bag up, and he had all his like the sex toys and shit.
Yeah, he had what woman? He had a vial of woman's hair, an mask, and what was the other one? Oh, tasers. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so NPH was me. All right, then.
Are you Neil Patrick Harris?
Yeah, I'd love to be, man. I wish I would be a black stunt double, you know? That dude was like, hey, but he lived at the end of the film.
Yeah, he's in the third one.
That shit was hilarious. He just, like, the screen just shows up on him, and I was like, no, NPH lives, baby. I just, people had them in their car. When this movie came out, NPH lives.
Yeah, because he was the focal. I remember he was the focal point of their advertising.
Well, yeah, because he was the he was one of those. You know, it's always great when the actors in a movie playing themselves.
Yeah.
The biggest success of that lately is This Is the End. I think that's probably one of the reasons why that movie was so good as it was, is because these actors were playing themselves and the characters that we believe them to be in real life.
Yeah, and this is Neil Patrick Harris. This is, like, what we see. We don't think this is the way he is, but...
No, that's how he is.
You know, oh, okay. He's Brandon Hookers across the country.
Hey, she's a whore. She wasn't a hooker. There's a difference.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. When she brings down the line of women, that motherfucker just looks at him and says, you. That dude was awesome. Or the part where they're just like, oh, they set up a checkpoint. And then he's going to throw the shrooms out, but then he looked at him and said, no, fuck that. And he ate them all. And the way he had that look in his eye, like when he ate them, he's like, he looked really high, though. I was like, damn. I'm like, I wonder if them shrooms are real. He sold the fuck out of this car. That car scene was the best scene to me in the whole fucking movie. I could not stop laughing. I had to rewind. It took me a while to finish this movie because I rewinded that part like four times, dude, laughing my ass off. Especially when he was driving the car and like he's having a normal fucking conversation where and then out of nowhere he just said, oh, shit. And it was like, what happened? He's like, did you see that fucking unicorn? Oh, it was shiny.
Shrooms are a bad mother.
Even Harold Kumar was looking in the backseat like, what? And then this motherfucker starts cracking open up a beer, and he's like, dude, it's like 9 a.m. in the morning right now. He's like, yeah, I know. And then he starts talking about, he's like, oh, the one that got away. I had someone like that. He started talking about that black chick. He was fucking around. He said, and he ended the story with, I'm glad she kept the baby.
That's why, I mean, even though he had a, you want to say a cameo?
Nah, he's longer than a cameo. He had at least a good, 15, 20 minutes? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, he was probably the highlight.
That shit, by far, man. That shit had me rolling. Cause I don't know where that story was going when he was telling a story about this black chick. I forgot her. What was her name in the movie? He said.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was a fuck. I think it was like Cinnamon or some shit like that or whatever. And he was just like, he's like, yo, here's to you, Cinnamon, fucking bitch. And then he opened up beer. He's like, thank God you kept the baby though. And then Kumar was just like, whoa. Even I had a look on my face like, what the fuck is he talking about right now?
I love the KKK scene.
Oh, that shit was hilarious. Mexicans!
Because I am a huge fan of Christopher Maloney.
Oh, okay.
I absolutely love him in SVU. When he left, I kind of stopped watching it. It's because he was the show.
Yeah.
And when he does stuff like this, because he was in the first one, too, as Freak Show.
Yeah.
And he's obviously, this one is a KKK member. who
that shit was hilarious.
He had like, did he have Asperger's or what? He just,
you know what the funniest part? Okay, KKK. I'm sorry, people. I know this is immature shit, but I laughed my ass off when that noise cracked up. And he's, when they knocked out those two KKK members and took the outfit, and he's, what the nigger was that?
That's gonna be a phrase now.
I remember this movie came out, and I heard that said, what the hell does that even mean? Because his eyes were all cockeyed and shit, like the camera has a perfect angle of his face, too. And he just turned around, he's like, what the nigger was that?
Are you going to start using that phrase now?
Actually, I was using it back then when it came out. I remember I used to say it at work back then. What the nigger was that? And now we know why I don't work there no more.
And then he wanted everyone to say what they did to a minority.
Oh, yeah, then they were talking about, I forgot who they were talking about, but someone just said, send them chanks back. They're talking about black people. And he's just like, send them back to Africa where they came from.
And they thought Harold and Kumar were Mexicans.
I like it. They take the hoods off. They're just like, I love being white. Whatever. They took the hoods off. They were just like, Mexicans. Oh, yeah. Then he was just like, I kicked the China man in my in his dick. I needed a China man in his balls earlier today. And then someone says, send them Chinamen back to Japan or some shit like that. Like, they were just saying shit that didn't even make any damn sense or whatever. They made the KKK stupider than I don't know what.
Yeah.
It's like, look, he's like, I'm the Grand Dragon. Let's sit around the campfire and talk about what we did wrong to a minority this week. I like when Kumar was just like, yo, the KKK, they know how to party, dude.
They did. What was he talking about? Like, you should try these hot dogs they made. They're awesome.
They're fucking good, actually.
Oh, speaking of that, one complaint is because they says escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
They were in Guantanamo Bay 15 minutes?
Shit, I would say less than that.
And they were talking about the cock meat sandwich.
Cock meat sandwich. Good lord. I was like, even I had to say that when he's like, you guys ever tried the cock meat sandwich? And I was just like, what the fuck is a cock meat sandwich? Where? And then this big dude came, I was like, oh, God. And then I thought they really were going to suck that dick. I was like, oh, dude, they're going to suck a dick, dude.
When the first two terrorist guys, I want to say they're terrorists, I don't know. Yeah. They were sucking his dick. You can hear, they did the slurping sound. I don't know if you heard that.
I remember it was funny because the first two terrorist dudes, they were pleading. It was like, they're the new guys, why do we have to do it? And then they were like, they got Big Bob or something like that, right? And it's like, oh, they got Big Bob. And then they just got down on their knees and just like, oh, okay, you guys are going to have a good time. And then they just went to sucking. I was like, oh.
Oh, my God.
Imagine if the movie sponsor crew was in Guantanamo Bay and then Big Bob came in and said, now, who's going to suck it first?
I'm throwing Wayne. I'm throwing Wayne in front of that one.
I'm like, hey, Wayne, hey, well, it's sucking, man. Hey, suck one for the team, Wayne, so we ain't got to do it. He's like, no, I want all y'all to do it at the same time. Well, he's like, I got me a white boy, two Australians, and two niggers. I was like, oh, why we gotta be niggers? Come on. They get white boy and Australian, and you call us niggers? I was like, damn. He's like, let the niggers suck it first. What?
But I think, because Guantanamo Bay, it doesn't get brought up a lot.
In the movie or just in general?
I would say in general.
Yeah.
Is it fully closed down?
You know what? They say it's fully shut down, but every now and then you find an article saying something about it where it may still or still not be operational. So it's like,
well, it was kind of like Alcatraz. We know that's not operational because they have tours there.
In a way, I kind of think it probably is. It's just like they're not letting it known to the public because, you know, they were torturing people there. So, you know, obviously you can't put that on display that, hey, we're torturing people, especially in America, because everybody's so goddamn sick. You could blow up 20 buildings, and if you torture that motherfucker that did it, people will still have sympathy for that person.
Yeah.
I don't know how in America that is or whatever. I remember on the History Channel watching the 20th most dangerous prisons in the world, shit like that. I saw a prison in fucking, I think it was New Zealand or some shit like that. Literally, it was a fucking hole in the ground with some straw. And you had this one little tube of light that shined in that hole. I was like, yeah, that's a fucking shithole right there.
I mean, prison,
that's like a vacation for homeless people.
And I believe they got, I'm pretty sure the look was right.
Of Guantanamo?
Yeah.
I would not like to think so much, because I hope I never have to visit that motherfucker for a cockney sandwich. I can tell you this right now, because I ain't sucking no dick. I can tell you that right now. Well, if it's a good dick, then yeah. But if it's like Big Bob dick, then hell no. I like it because Kamara's like, oh, God, it smells, too.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
I was like, damn, dude, that means you ain't bathing or some shit like that if it smells. Come on now. Oh, man. Can you imagine, Z, if somebody told you to get down on your knees and suck my dick right now?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you tell me that shit every week, P1.
Every week.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't survive in prison.
I don't think I would.
That's how the Moose Force crew, whatever. If we all were in prison together, I'd be the only one crying like a bitch in the corner. I'd be like, they gonna fuck me first, guys!
I think I would try to get myself killed in prison so I wouldn't get raped or suck dick.
I'd tell you and Wayne to hold this rope up real quick, and then they'd be like, oh, what's this rope for? And I'd be like, let it go right now, and then you'll see. And then you see me dangling.
That should be a reality show.
Who killed who first? I'd be
no, like, us in jail.
That'd be all. Who do you think would fit in with the culture at first?
I want to say Luke. I think Luke crazy. Would. I think Luke would just go with the flow.
Because he's crazy, that's why.
Luke will be our Big Bob.
Wayne will probably be the last one to go with it because he'd be like, I ain't sucking no one's dick or whatever. Even if they like gang raped him, whatever, he'd still be in denial.
Wayne would be okay. You know the bad guy in Equalizer who had all, he had all the tattoos on his chest. Wayne, that'll be Wayne. Takes off his shirt and he's getting tattoos every day.
Yeah,
that'll be Wayne. He would start his own prison gang.
I can see Wayne in the shower. He takes his clothes on. They be like, oh, that boy got tattoos. Ooh, that boy's sexy right there. And he'd be like, all right, mate. None of you better be looking at me or whatever. And then even you'll see me looking at him like, yeah, damn, Wayne, you got a nice body on you, man.
And
I'd even say it out loud in the shower, too. Like, who's going to get this Australian ass first? Time to find out.
And I think,
so I can take the attention off of me, I'd say that. I'd put him out there.
And I think Cody would just...
They'd fuck the shit
out of him. Yeah, I think he's too pretty for jail.
Yeah, exactly. They'd fuck the shit out of his pretty ass. They'd make a silver lining out of his pretty little ass. They'd fuck that boy raw shit, too. And I'd be like, Cody! Hey, oh, Cody.
They'll be like, happy Hanukkah, bitch.
He'll come back limping like a motherfucker every night and shit. What Cody is, just pretty much watch an episode of Oz. That's how they treat him. They'd be like, wake up, boy. Dick sucking time.
So, also, I'm very surprised you didn't mention this. I'm very, you, especially from you.
The that's why.
The bottomless pants party.
Bottomless pants party, my favorite.
That is probably the most, even in porno movies, that's the most ass I've probably seen in a movie.
There's a lot of ass in this movie to be shown. Yes, yes.
And I don't know if that the guy's dick or what, but
no, it's a dick.
Oh, I said it looked like Bin Laden's beard.
It was a cockney sandwich, yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, that party looked badass, but the simple fact that that dude, like, yeah, you're right, because I think he did say, he's like, that's Osama Bin Laden's beard, up, and all that ass in that one area, I was like, God damn. Mm.
And what's, you know, they show all that, you show the boob, you show the girls getting naked and making out and stuff, but you don't see Danielle Harris or even Paula Garces get naked at all.
Shit, you don't see Paula Garces in the whole fucking film. I think they're all just flashbacks, right?
No. And how does she not, like, think it's weird that she came to Amsterdam? Because this is probably a week after she left or something?
Yeah, I'm assuming, probably even shorter than that, right?
Probably.
This one picks up right after the first one.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Well, I guess it's safe to say that she was into him. So that's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm into him, so, you know, it's not creepy. Had she not been to his ass, she would have been like, oh, that is fucking creepy. But let's be realistic, most women today would have been like, at first they probably think, oh, that's sweet of you or whatever, but then they start talking about it with their friends, and then their friends will tell them, no, that's fucking creepy. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, a couple of hours later, they'll start looking at you a little bit weirder and shit. And then you'll ask them what's wrong. They'll be like, oh, nothing. None. And then next morning, they're gone.
Well, I think another problem I have with the movie is that that's typical in these types of movies.
Especially comedies.
The people, they have resentment towards each other.
Yeah.
And this one, I think it hammered it too much.
Resentment on and from.
Well, you know, Kumar always fucking up and getting him in trouble. And then,
why would Harold be friends with him?
Exactly.
That's the real question. It's not the complications they have. The biggest complication of the whole fucking franchise is, why are you friends with him? Because Harold's playing the straight man, Kumar's playing the fuck up, and it's like, yet you know he fucks up, but yet you're still friends with him.
Yeah, so...
And not only that, your roommate's with the motherfucker, too.
Yeah, exactly.
How long have they known each other? Did they ever say that in the first movie?
I think they said college.
Was it college? Oh, that's right, because they in the flashback, he had a Vanessa. They were showing how Harold probably was like an emo Harold back then.
Yeah.
He was watching him and Vanessa make out and shit. Which, by the way, there's no way in fuck Harold or Kumar would get both of these women.
No.
No, hell no. I don't give a fuck. Neither one of them is really that good looking. I mean, John Cho, maybe. But Kumar, come on now.
And Vanessa's fiancé, Colin, he was your stereotypical, generic, cliche, bad guy fiance.
That dude was pretty as shit, though, see?
I loved when they get taken, when he, like, you know, takes him to the airport, and yeah. It's a setup, and he, what did he say? He goes, I'm awesome, or after, he says something, I can't remember what he said.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, too, but it was a funny joke where it wasn't even funny because he's just too stupid to realize it. But you know what was so stupid about that, though? One of my biggest complaints about the movie was just like, it's like, really? That kind of came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, I mean...
And then it's like, oh, it's like, what's his reasoning for this? It's like, oh, I don't want you ruining my plans. It's like, but you never saw any signs of that anyway, though.
No, the only time is that when she trips, when she does the cliche fall and hurt her ankle,
yeah,
Kumar's helping her, and that's when he shows up, and then... He puts him away.
I think I wish I could remember who her fiance was at the time. Oh, it was Eric Winter, Colton.
Yeah.
Colton, he had the biggest... He was like the only one that did that big-ass character change, though, at the in this film. And this shit was weird and came out of fucking nowhere, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was just a way for Kumar to hook back up with this girl.
I think he was probably the most forced character in the movie.
Colton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
Because you need a protagonist, another one.
Do you really think they needed him in this film?
It
could have easily took him out, right?
Well, what was stopping Vanessa from hooking up with Kumar?
Could have been the same thing like with Harold. He could have been just looking for her.
Yeah, could.
Could have been like an adventure look for her, at least, or whatever. You know, he was like, oh, and you know, go to the neighbors and stuff like that. It was like, yeah, she was with this guy, but she left him because he was kind of a douchebag and some shit like that. We don't know where she moved at, but we heard that her family moved upstate up here or whatever, something like that. I don't know, some shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, I think he was a forced character. He didn't have much screen time or plot presence besides turning him in.
I will say he did lead to a presence of bringing George Bush into the film. That's probably his
he
only
did.
Acknowledgement.
He was more happy to fucking that Bush showed up to the wedding than marrying a fucking fine-ass girl like that.
Why the fuck would you give a shit if Bush showed up? I mean, I understand you went to political realm, but it's like, no, I wouldn't give two shit. You got a hot-ass chick like that? And you worry about fucking Bush showing up? Come on. I was like, oh, honey, you can't be smoking pot or whatever. It's just like, let her smoke it in the house. Ain't nobody up in that motherfucker.
Yeah. One scene I did laugh when they were on the plane, and Rob Corddry was like listening to Danger Zone and
I'm the Danger Zone.
And then when they parachute, and then he just jumps out of the plane with no parachute.
He was so obsessed with these two motherfuckers, whatever and shit. I don't lie. When he got the Bill of Rights and wiped his ass with. I laughed my ass off. I was just like, damn. He's like, and then I like it because, what's his name? He's just like, do you wipe your ass?
Yeah, Goldstein goes, why is it so brown?
He's like, is that fresh? I was like, ah, I know that's a shit joke. But it was so, like, outlandish. They were just like, it was like, I know my rights. And he was like, your rights? Bring me the Bill of Rights up in here. And even I was thinking, like, what is he going to do with the Bill of Rights? You would think someone as crazy as him would be, like, all for the Bill of Rights, like, patriotic. Because that's how he's playing. He's playing, like, this patriotic American or whatever and shit. And for him, that was another funny stereotype. It's just like, you know, because you always see an American and be like, oh, I'm patriotic. But they won't follow. Like, they can be patriotic, but they'll still hate black people, even though the Bill of Rights say, hey, all men are created equal. You know, they'll do some hypocritical shit like that. So, like, when he pulled that Bill of Rights out, even though he's proven to be this patriotic American or whatever, so he pulled his Bill of Rights out and wiped his ass with it. That was just like, yeah, you don't give two shits about America.
Yeah, I absolutely love Rob Corddry. I think he's a
spinoff with him.
I think he's a very underrated actor.
He's not playing in bad movies, though.
Well, he is. I mean, I've seen him in a lot of. I mean, he's been in some good movies, like and like some serious characters, like W and stuff.
Yeah,
but
you know they handed a Hot Tub Time Machine over to him, and that movie bombed.
Yeah, that movie was terrible. Compared to the first one, it was terrible.
I'd love to see a spinoff of this character from this franchise, though.
Oh, just watch have him be racist for an hour and a half.
Yeah, he's like. Oh, drop him off in the Middle East?
That's one thing I do kind of wonder. This movie was almost 2 hours long.
Yeah, it's a little too long.
I don't know why I mean, right now, Vince Vaughn's comedy movies are about 2 hours long. Or yeah. Over 2 hours. Like, there's no need for a two-hour comedy.
There's never no need for a two-hour comedy. You know why? Because the jokes start to get a little tired. You get worn out. Even if you're laughing, having a good time, you'll get worn out just by laughing.
Like, Internship. That was like 2.5 hours.
I was going to say, I would even say Ted, too.
Was Ted 2 hours?
Yeah, Ted was over 2 hours, actually. I remember when I was watching it, I was like, yeah, I'm liking it. And then it just kept going on. I was like, all right, I'm exhausted now. I was like,
yeah.
And then you realize, like, there's not really much to the story there. So you just like, yeah, you should have ended it. And then it just kept going on. And then the whole thing with the whole kid and stuff at the end of the movie, you just like, yeah, you could have easily cut all this out, to be honest. I was like, that could have been easily cut out here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this.
I thought it won itself back when it said that kid grew up to be Taylor Lautner. But that's a fucking funny ass joke. I was like, you could have easily cut out 20 minutes of this shit.
Yeah. Even though it's true.
That shit was hilarious as fuck. But yeah, man, comedies, I'm with you, man. They shouldn't be. Personally, they shouldn't be no more than an hour and 45. Yeah, and that's at tops. Hour and 30 at the most, though.
Yeah, because it. It drags on. This one dragged. I mean, you probably could have got rid of the hillbilly couple scene.
Yeah.
That scene could have.
Was funny as shit, but yeah, I would agree. That one could have.
That one could have been cut. That would have took out 10 minutes.
I would even say a lot of this shit with Colton could have been taken out.
Oh, yeah.
The flashbacks to it of Kumar and Vanessa, that shit could have been taken out as well.
I think the three-way with.
The flashbacks did nothing.
The three-way with the bag. Well, I think because that was like a homage to the first one, too.
Yeah, but still, they didn't do shit. Like, all I knew was just like, Vanessa's the chick he's going after. I don't need to see flashbacks of him going out with her and shit like that or stuff like that. Or even, I would even say towards the end. I mean, I would say that George Bush scene, that dragged on for a long time. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't laugh my ass off throughout that whole scene. That shit was funny as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I like comedy movies. But you need an end point, and it seems like this just kept it didn't further the plot. A lot of the stuff did not further the plot.
Well, that's what they do with the sequels too. Is they always make them longer, and especially the adventure ones too, where they're going on a road trip and stuff like that. They make them longer, and the problem with the longer comedies is there's not much of a story to make them longer. If you can give me at least a decent story, then yeah, this movie doesn't have a fucking story. Really. I mean, the story of this is really is just like, we're looking for this girl.
Yeah, like...
Well, I guess the story of this one really was to find Colton to clear their names of charges that... I'm sorry, man, but if Kumar was my friend and he got me sent to Guantanamo Bay to suck a dick because he snuck weed onto a plane, Yeah, that'd be the end of the friendship right there. I'd be like, I can't hang around this motherfucker no more.
And, like, he really couldn't wait. They're going to Amsterdam where it's freaking legal.
Thank you.
I mean, I thought that was the stupidest reason to get them onto Guantanamo Bay. I thought it was real.
Not to mention that, though, but he brought a fucking bomb.
A homemade bong that looks like a bomb.
Yeah, exactly. A homemade bong.
And he's supposed to be a genius, too.
And yet, he could, like you said, he couldn't fucking wait till he got off the plane to do it. Like, the fact that he made it past security with that thing by giving that one guard shit.
Yeah, because he said he looked like Matthew Perry. And that he was he black?
Man, he was Cody.
He was Cody.
Yeah, exactly. There's no race for that. You just call him Cody now. Just call him the Cody. That's another race now.
Okay, because I thought that was kind of funny.
You know, the beginning half of the movie, I didn't really care for that much. It was after Guantanamo Bay is started kind of liking so much more of it. The first half, I thought it was funny for the tepid it was, but. It was one of those parts of the movie where I was like, this is very idiotic right here. I mean, and like you said, it was the reason why. And then the fact that he couldn't fucking wait for an 11-hour flight, I believe, that he couldn't wait to get off the fucking plane. He had to do it there. The fact that he got away through security with the thing, you would think, I was like, oh, that's a win enough. But no, he had to do it on the fucking plane. I was like, wow, really?
Yeah.
But Kumar's, you know, he's like the ultimate fuck-up. And, like, they want you to feel sympathy for him or whatever. And he's just like, no, I don't feel no fucking sympathy for him.
No, I mean, you feel it for Harold because he seems like the...
I feel it for Harold, to be honest, because he keeps going along with it.
Yeah, because he was the straight... Even the first one, he was straight arrowed.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
This one...
he's still straight arrowed.
He's still straight arrowed, but he had more of an adventure trying to get this girl than go to White Castle.
Because he had more of a purpose in this film, but he's still straight-faced. Come on, now. I mean... If anything, you know what? Hey, look, you got a great job, even though he said he hates it or whatever. But, like, hey, I don't go fuck if you hate your job or not. If it pays you a lot of fucking money, it's a great job. You got this great job, and he's got a chick that's into him, which, by the way, probably the finest chick in both of these fucking movies or whatever. And he's got his head on his shoulder straight. And knowing his only problem in his life is this unemployed fuck-up he hangs around with.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what, maybe if you just cut him from your life, you probably would have been married to this girl already.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, just get rid of these fucks. So people, this movie's a lesson. I think people should watch it because it's a lesson to saying, if you got someone like this, you need to get the fuck out of your life with them.
Your life couldn't be so much better.
Yeah. Watch Z just hangs up and be like, all right, P1, then goodbye then. Like, time to improve my life. That'd be funny. Z's credit go up and everything, whatever shit, once he leaves me.
That's not going to happen.
He'd be like, oh, it was the credit company found out that he had a black friend once he lose him.
I'm not from Alabama. my credit things are not KKK.
I can tell you this right now, if that really was true, everyone would fucking drop their black friends in. Shit, even my black ass, I'd be like, shit, you got to go? I'd be like Oprah at her fucking show. You get a car, but I'd be like, you got to go.
Wait, is it going to be like in Half-Baked, where he leaves the fast food? Fuck you, fuck you.
Yeah.
You're cool.
I'm out. That's me on a daily basis, though, telling people fuck you.
It is.
I don't know how I still have friends, but, you know, hey. People don't like honesty, but yet they do, I guess.
I'm surprised you're not dead.
Yeah, well, you know, I get my fair amount of share of death threats. You know, the first time I ever got a death threat, though, was Twilight, Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, I remember you told me that.
And that little bridge bitch that was crying, she had that fan club that came and attacked me and said that they was hoping I'd burn in hell and rot and die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they flooded people. They flooded. It would take you a long time to go back and find it on my Twitter, but they flooded my Twitter that weekend with just all kinds of fuck yous, want you to die. You just don't understand great talent and Kristen Stewart in this movie. She was beautiful. She was fantastic. Everyone was great. I hope you die in the black burn asphalt of hell. You know, it was all kind of shit. I was like, damn. I was like, what an honor.
Love that, didn't you?
What an honor, yo. Yeah. That was beautiful, actually. I'm not gonna lie. That was beautiful. I put myself up there too, by the way. You know?
you know, I'm looking at the, I have not, because we talk about Ebert a lot, about his reviews. I'm not seeing anything what he says about this movie.
Did he review this movie?
He had to have. I see Roper, he said he enjoyed it.
Wasn't Ebert out in commission at this point?
Oh, he was still doing reviews.
I thought he was out and about at this time. I know he was doing reviews, but I thought he was, I thought by 2008 he was done.
I'm gonna actually Google, because his reviews make me laugh.
Because he don't know what the fuck he's talking about?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, he did review it.
Oh, what?
He gave it 3 stars.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at the Rotten Tomato score. It's like at 54%. It's like, that's average, I guess. So it's not really. I thought people was worse on it than it was, but nah. Like, it was just whatever. I mean, like, it had chuckles there. It had a lot of laughs there or whatever. But as far as just like a cohesive movie or anything like that, it falls flat on his ass. The jokes really come with the characters that are introduced in the film, such as Rob Corddry's character, Ron Fox, and Neil Patrick Harris. Basically, you know, this is what, like, just like The Hangover, it's not necessarily the main characters you like, it's the shit they get into is what you like.
What,
Because, like, you know, Harold and Kumar, you don't give 2 fucks about them. Personally, I don't give a shit about them in either one of the movies. But it's always fun to see what characters they run into, such as the Neil Patrick Harris or the KKKs and shit like that or anything like that. Those are always the fun parts of the movie. The main characters in these kind of movies, they're always fucking people you don't give a shit about.
Yeah, and this one, the main characters are highlights for the movie. Because, like we said, the movie does drag a bit. But when you got stuff with Rob Corddry, Neil Patrick Harris, even Christopher Maloney,
the Klan, you got, what else? Oh, not the whorehouse itself, but just the fact that Neil Patrick Harris was thrown into it. Yeah, that was funny.
Bush obviously was very funny.
It was shit like that. That was funny. I mean, clear enough, when Rob Corddry's interrogating the Jewish friends, Harold and Kumar wasn't even in those scenes, and that shit was hilarious.
Yeah,
Harold and Kumar are the least funniest things of these fucking movies. If anything, they're probably the worst things of these movies.
Really?
They're just the avatars you follow in their eyes. You're just watching shit through their eyes the rest of the movie. They're bland and boring, to be honest. And they do a lot of stupid and ignorant shit. They do a lot of stupid and ignorant shit that ain't even funny, neither.
That's very bold saying that when it's the two supposedly stars of the movie.
They're not the stars of the movie.
Rob Corddry was the star of the movie.
Neil Patrick Harris was the star of the movie.
I wish he had a bigger role.
I like his short roles that he had, because he just comes and goes. I love that shit.
You like him in the little short bits?
Yeah, I like him in the short bits. That's why I like Rob Corddry too, because he wasn't in the movie a lot of whatever, but the scenes he came on, he just fucking nailed it. Like, that was perfect. I mean, come on. Give me one thing where you laughed at Harold and Kumar did.
Exactly.
There you go. The crickets are clicking now, whatever. I mean, in both films, too. Like, every time that you follow both of them, they are just the audience eyes to see the crazy shit they get into.
It's deep,
man. That's all they are. That's why they don't. That's why you don't give those type of characters the material to work with that the Neil Patrick Harris or the Rob Corddry characters get. That's why even in the Hangover movies, whatever, you don't give a fuck about the four main guys. Even in the first film, let's be honest, it's more about the adventure they get into, running into people like Mike Tyson and shit like that. Whatever. I mean, you don't give a fuck about Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, or Zach Galifianakis. You damn sure don't give a fuck about Zach Galifianakis. Come on, it's all about the adventure they get into.
Mm-hmm. You could say that a lot about adventure movies too.
Oh yeah, I think that, and personally, I think it's for all adventure films too. You don't give the main characters the good material. Because you save that for the characters and the things that they're going to run into.
Yeah.
The main characters are just avatars for audiences.
So you could have thrown any two people into Harold and Kumar, and you get the same effect.
Probably so.
Yeah, because I do like John Cho.
Yeah,
Yeah, John Cho's great actor. I mean, well, I won't say great. He's a good actor. Yeah, I'll give him that. But, like, the material that him and Kumar are giving in this film, that's fucking shit. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. And that's the writing. And the because the writers, they did American Reunion.
I mean, Kumar and Harold, they're annoying as shit. Let's be honest. They are fucking annoying. Some of the stupid shit they do. Like I said, it's not even funny. It's just shit that you would, like, we talked about the airplane scene where he's bringing up all of it. It was just like, how am I supposed to like this guy after this now?
Yeah. So you can put a lot of, and Kumar is supposed to be a genius, too.
Thank you, yeah. He's supposed to be smarter than Harold, too.
Yeah, and he's just, yeah, he's extremely stupid as fuck.
Yeah. Would you hang around him?
After first incident, probably from the first movie, I'll probably say, fuck you, I'm done.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, you know, address book when you're bored a night and you're just looking for a party. That's it. You don't call him to be like, hey, let's hang out, let's go get a burger. Right? He ain't that guy. Nah. He's that guy where you're bored one Saturday night, you ain't got shit to do, and you go like, I know he's doing some crazy shit. He's got a bunch of people with him. I want to be involved with it right now. And even you'll still be like the laid back and like, okay, I'm just here at the party. You know, I want to party with people and stuff like that. But other than that, no, there's no way the fuck you'd be this guy. If anything, you'd be using him just to go to his party and shit.
Yeah, that's the perfect analogy for who Kumar's character is. And John and Harold will just be the guy that stays in on Saturday night.
I was about to say, you wouldn't want to hang around him. He's fucking uptight. Boring.
Yeah, sure.
If both of them have the stereotypical personalities of blandness personalities, or one's just too out there, and he's just like, I hate both of you. So you don't have an equal balance of. They're pretty much, if you combine one person together, someone took two people and gave them the personality that one person should have, and just gave one full personality to this person and another full to this one. You got the bland, boring guy, and you got the crazy, outrageous guy. Supposedly, they're both geniuses, but they both do some of the stupidest shit you've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. What'd you give this, Z? What was your final thoughts on Woody?
I'm going to give this one high rent it.
Okay.
It's enjoyable to an extent with the secondary characters.
Oh, yeah.
I think it does miss. We've already said it. It's this one is more extravagant compared to the first one because I would give the first one a C it because I really enjoy the first one, and I think this one just kind of lost its charm. That's probably one of the reasons why I don't like Hangover 2 as much as Hangover because it loses its charm that it has. It tries so hard to overtop it. In comedy movies, you don't need that. You don't need to do that in a sequel.
Every comedy sequel does that.
It does it, but you don't need to do it.
Apparently they think, you know, in a way, I would think they need to. I'm not going to lie. Because first of all, I don't think there need to be a sequel. But if you're going to make one, then you need to do something at least for it. Because you know what? Because if you don't do it, then you're going to be saying, well, the first one did this.
Yeah.
I think with Hangover, it had no choice but to do that.
Yeah, which I think I want to say that's the downfall.
Yeah, Hangover's downfall, why it failed, and its sequels, both of them, is that the first one was too crazy and funny out there or whatever shit. Mm-hmm. And when they decided to make that sequel, that was a downfall right there, was the fact that they needed to make a sequel. But the fact that they, it's like, wow, how can we up the antics from this movie that everybody thought was the craziest fucking adventure film they ever saw?
Yeah.
They had no choice but to go to extreme.
Yeah, but I would recommend it for a comedy, but I would more recommend the first one than this one.
Yeah. This one is kind of like filler when you're doing shit in the background.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed sitting down watching it. I mean, granted, I was doing some other shit too at times, but I knew what parts I would laugh at, and I knew that they were coming up, and I would probably stop doing that and do it. I laugh my ass off still watching it. Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I'm giving it a high rent or two. I laughed my ass off a lot in this film, but, my God, over 2 hours, man, you're killing me now. You're killing me, Z. You're killing me. Why you make this 2 hours, Z? It's your fault. Anyway, though, but no, like I said, Personally, I still don't like Harold and Kumar. Never liked Harold and Kumar. I think they're fucking annoying or boring, to be honest. And they're both stupid as shit. But, man, like you said, these secondary characters, man, that's where the adventure comes from, man. I love everything about them. Rock Corddry, he's fucking amazing. Neil Patrick Harris is fucking amazing. When them two are on screen together, that shit was lightning in the bottle. You only gonna see it once, dang, you need to see it for that. It was hilarious as shit. The plot, stupid as fuck. But this is one of those movies, I'm guessing it's like, we don't need a plot or anything like that. Just because, it's like, hey, just find the girl and stuff like that. And not to mention, who the fuck would date these two fuckwits?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially these two fine-ass girls. I'm talking about, like, this is like some top-tier shit right here, Z. Like, even I would have to roofie them to get them. Come on now. Come on now.
You would anyway.
They wouldn't even turn around for Cody's Jufro, how pretty he is. I mean, shit. That's how fine they are. They'd be like, black man, black Jew, You know? I mean, so, yeah, so I give it a high rant. I'll keep it at that. I get some laughs out of it. It's one of those movies I haven't seen in a while, but I think on repeat value, it's mainly the Rob Corddry and the Neil Patrick Harris scenes that'll have you laughing. You might get worn down if you did repeat watch it. This shit used to be on USA a lot back in the day when it came out on DVD and Blu-ray, and I was like, damn, this shit used to, and that and the first one to be exact, they were wearing the fuck out of these movies on like Spike and USA and shit.
The edited version of this movie would be completely ruined.
Oh, yeah. I saw the edited version of the first one. Definitely.
Definitely ruined.
And that goes with any rated R comedy, too, though, at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen things like Harlem Nights edited version.
Yeah,
fucking
it's
Come to
terrible.
America edited version. I was just like, wow, these still fucking ruined the movie, man. Seriously, like, that shit really does take you out. Like, I always hate when Comedy Central has a comedian I want to see. They do their stand-up on there, and they show it early as fuck, because I think it's like after 8 or 9 o'clock, that's when they allow the explicit version to be released.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll show that shit like at 5 or 4 p.m. or something like that, and they'll bleep out everything they fucking say. And just like, oh my god, dude. They will bleep so much that shit will annoy you.
Yeah, that's
it's fucking Comedy Central. Just play it. Shit, South Park airs all goddamn day.
Yeah, unedited too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, is he ready? You ready to talk about your Sex and the City loss?
No, there's no.
You're so close.
I was closer than the other guys.
So close. Yeah, true. You, hey, if anything, we had to go by place. You came in second place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you. I was first. You second. Wayne third. Cody fourth. And obviously Luke was fifth. So hey, you came close. But like, not only were you close, but you were really damn close though. So like, that was a good answer from you. So just wasn't good enough though. Because apparently you got to watch Sex and the City. Oh, man, I'm looking at your cover right now. You look so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, your head on that little body right there. Wow, you look very pretty.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Cody, you fit this body really well, actually.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Y'all cover for your Sex and the City too. What the fuck you think I'm talking about?
Did someone post our faces on the body, on the cover?
No, that's y'all bodies. What are you talking about? Oh, come on now. Who else would have a girly figures like that, Z? Come on, that's gotta be you.
Well, I am not horse face, so.
No. That's what's his name? That's Cody. He's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Okay.
Yeah. Damn, actually, he looks better on that body than she does. That's sad. That's really fucking sad, actually. He looks damn good on that body. You look really good. Z, you need to start paying attention to your fucking social media, man. Really do.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
Well, people, if you don't know, Z lost like the rest of those fucking losers. The Sex and City bet, obviously. So now they gotta go, not only that, but they gotta go film themselves buying or renting it. And now they're gonna go review it as well. And what better way to spend your 4th of July than listening to Z, Luke, Wayne, and Cody talk about Sex and the City? I think that'd be a perfect holiday weekend for the four of them to connect and bond and talk about their womanhood and their feminism. And oh, by the way, yeah, they travel to Abu Dhabi in that movie too, so that should be interesting. You get culture learning in there as well.
Spoilers.
It's gonna be great. I can't wait. What's the spoilers?
I don't know. I've never seen one second of Sex and the City.
Oh, well, yay, this is going to be a great movie experience for you then. I cannot fucking wait. It's hilarious.
Luke.
You're in for a treat.
Luke.
I hope Z hangs himself.
I might. Luke said, do we have to watch the first one to understand this? I'm like, shut up, Luke.
Oh, damn, I wish I could have been there for that conversation. Damn, yeah. You know what, Luke? Yes, you do. Watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it, Luke.
Oh my god. Why? Why do you gotta punish us?
It fits that body so well.
Why do you gotta?
Y'all got lost. Hey, it's fair. Y'all lost.
Why do you gotta do this?
Body though. I'd fuck him.
Why do you gotta do this?
Hey, it's not my fault. That's not me. No, actually, you know what? It wasn't even my idea. That was Luke's idea. Luke and Wayne idea.
They really must have wanted to watch this movie. They must have wanted to watch it, because I don't see it.
No, they really thought they were going to win. That's what that shit was.
They both can't win.
Yeah, because Luke was the one that said, oh, for the next one, we should do a Sex and the City thing, whatever. And I was like, that's a good idea, actually. So there you go. And Wayne was the one that upped the antics that you got to go buy the shit and film it, though.
Oh, he's not admitting to that, because I asked. I'm like, who said this? And he's not admitting to it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There you go. Spill beans in, people. Wait, man, he's not admitting to it. I already told, he already said it back when he had this thing. He said that he did it.
There's a lot of fucking messages, and I'm not going to go back, but I asked, like, whose idea was it? And Wayne's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Sucks for you guys. Wow, Wayne must have really thought he was going to win this when coming up that stipulation. My God, sucks to be him.
What a way to celebrate America's birthday.
Man, it's hard to be phenomenal, you know? It must be really hard, you know?
I wish you would have lost.
But hey, I guess that just goes to show when, you know, when you're the boss, you win, you know? That's what you do. That would have been even more awesome had I won the polling, too, but, you know, you can't win them all.
No, your new polling, the new polling you have now, that's epic. That's a hard one.
Oh, me and Cody still arguing about that. Me and Cody had we got to a debate. On movie spoilers, he thought it was stupid because he said, obviously, Jurassic Park. I said, why is that? Nah, nope, Ghostbusters. That one's bigger. So so we got into a debate of which one people, you know, because I was talking about, like, Ghostbusters spawned off the rise of Bill Murray, had toys, cartoons, and shit like that. I mean, Ghostbusters is a fucking huge, that's a monster of a franchise. But he still thinks Jurassic Park. Which I don't know why, because Jurassic Park ain't spawned off shit except for dinosaurs.
And two very, very crappy sequels.
That too, but Ghostbusters did too. But I don't know. I think people, I told him, I said, people's been asking more for Ghostbusters 3 than they have a Jurassic Park film.
Yeah.
He said, no, they haven't. But I was like, I don't know where you've been at then, brother. Because they have.
There's been a Ghostbusters 3 talk for, what?
Fuck. 30 years now?
Yeah, and after Lost World and Jurassic Park 3, people was like, yeah, we're done with Jurassic Park.
Thank you! Oh, thank you! I would say that Wayne agreed with me too, but, you know, Wayne's opinion on movies these days. I kind of want him to disagree with me because I'm just like, oh, God, I got Wayne backing me up. You know something's wrong, man. So, it's like, shit. Can't have him backing me up. But, yeah, it came out to a tie. It ended the day, people, and the poll came out to a tie between Ghostbusters and both 45 out of 45. So I still stick with Ghostbusters, though. I mean, come on.
I'm going to say Ghostbusters. I think that's got more of a, like,
And I'm not saying which film is better or bigger, neither. I'm saying which brand is bigger as far as the Ghostbusters name or the Jurassic Park name.
Ghostbusters, I would say it's aimed at all audiences.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park, the first one, it seemed a lot like it was because it was the toys and stuff. it seemed like it was really aimed for kids, in an extent.
Well, you got think about Jurassic Park when it came out. The thing that people said what made that movie amazing was the fact that the special effects look good. The thing about Ghostbusters is people were just saying that movie was incredible. It's an iconic film or whatever. And the reason why people say Jurassic Park is iconic is just because the effects of the dinosaurs look good.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody came out as a star at Jurassic Park. Nobody became big or anything like that. But in Ghostbusters, those guys became huge after that. Well, at least Bill Murray did, especially. I mean, Bill Murray, you go back and ask somebody, hey, what's your favorite Bill Murray? They hands down probably tell you Ghostbusters. I don't know. The proton packs, the Halloween costumes. I mean, come on.
Stay Puft Marshall, like Slimer.
That movie was just iconic. And that's and even for me, I like Jurassic Park more, but I think as a brand, I think Ghostbusters is bigger.
I think I could rewatch Ghostbusters like back to back. The same first one. I can't rewatch Jurassic Park back to back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do like Jurassic Park a lot.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, I understand.
But it's just the dinosaurs are the stars. No one, like you said, no one else became a name after that. Like Sam Neill, you thought he would have been a bigger name. No, not really. Jeff Goldblum, after freaking Independence 4, he kind of fell off the fucking earth.
Let's be real. Do you give a fuck about anybody in Jurassic Park?
No, you just want to see dinosaurs.
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, you don't give a shit about no fucking Jurassic Park. Come on. the most thing you wanted to see on Jurassic Park was a fucking T-Rex, okay? You don't give a fuck about nobody. Yeah. Come on, you're wrong! I won this. I don't care what you say. I won this. That's wrong.
And the poll was tied.
Ghostbusters, baby.
The poll was tied.
What?
The poll was tied. On Movie Spoilers.
Fuck that tie. That tie don't mean shit.
that's a really hard question.
Fuck it in the ass.
Really hard question, though. I saw that, I'm like, wow, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But I'm actually with you. I actually think Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
People talk more about, we're 30 years past, and people still talk about Ghostbusters, but now they're only talking about Jurassic Park because the movie came out. So.
Yeah. I haven't heard anyone talk about fucking Jurassic Park unless they were bringing up that first movie. Just like, oh, the effects look great, whatever. But ain't nobody been asking for a fucking sequel.
Hmm. That's why when Jurassic World got announced, you were like, why? You fucked up on the last two sequels, so why go for a fourth one? But I like the fourth one.
Yeah, I did too. I loved it, actually. Liked it a lot. I thought it was a sequel I've been asking for.
Want to do some questions and comments?
Yes. I'm ready to do questions and comments now. So you're wrong, Cody. You lost. Anyway, Leia. She says, Z. Oh, this is a perfect question. Wow. Damn, this is a perfect fucking question.
It is.
We just asked these people on the show. See, this is a perfect ass question because we just asked this on the show, literally. This question is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Z, if you were in prison and had to pick one of the Movie Spoilers hosts to stay in a cell with, who would you pick and who would you think be the worst to stay with?
I think you would be the worst to stay with.
Probably so, because I'd be trying to fuck you, probably.
No, it's just because you would have, like, withdrawals of your alcohol and...
And women
and podcasting.
Yeah, so you most likely become a microphone whore for me, and I'd be fucking you, probably.
Yeah.
But I would stroke your hair ever so lovingly and make sure you like it, though.
You would. You would make me feel like a...
I'd make you feel comfortable.
You would. As opposed to just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, you liked it, right? Yeah. And you'd be like, no, actually, I'd be like, you liked it. Tell me you like it.
The next day, you would bring me my lunch. I would be your bitch.
Yeah, exactly. It's my booty, bitch. Back off my booty.
Who I would want to stay, I think the craziness of Wayne. I think that he's the guy you'd want oh god, I'm gonna regret saying this. He's a guy you want to be behind because he's so crazy, no one's gonna fuck with you.
I don't know. He might sell you out, though. He might sell your ass out. Wayne, that's a good response. But at the same time, you got to think about Wayne's positives with his negatives. And he's just like, yeah, he might be a traitor. He's one of those motherfuckers. Like, yeah, he might be loyal at first, but when things get dark and gritty.
He'll sell you for a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, he'll probably sell you for a tattoo of a wolf. I mean, shit, and, you know, I don't know, man. You got a hard choice here. But I agree with you. I probably would be the worst to stay with, but that's for damn sure.
Because Cody would just get raped by everyone in the cell.
Yeah, so you wouldn't get any sleep because you'd be constantly hearing,
Shalom.
Shalom, bitch. Say it again.
Luke, I think Luke would be a wild card.
Yeah. I think he would fit in the prison cell, like you said. You see him with a do-rag on his head and shit like that. He'll be pants sagging or whatever.
He would be Will Ferrell and Get Hard. I think.
Okay. Never mind. That nigga needs to stay the fuck away from me then.
Luke would be Will Ferrell from Get Hard.
Good Lord, that's not good. That's not good at all. We got to kill his ass.
But that's a. I would say Luke would be, because even though he'll sell you out, and you know what's gonna happen.
Yeah. He'll do it for fun too. He'll do it just to laugh and shit.
He would run that prison. You know he would.
Yeah, I can see him probably. He looked like he'd be running the cafeteria, yeah.
He'll be running the cafeteria. That's my applesauce, bitch.
Somehow he'll be working behind the counter and shit. And somehow the lunch ladies will be giving him extra shit and stuff like that. Don't know why. Don't know how. He would know everybody in the fucking prison. Don't say that.
He would.
He would know all their stories and shit, come back and telling us, and we'd be looking at him like, you look like you're having a fucking good-ass time in this cell, man. I would be like Joanna Man from Life. I'd be like that. I would try to do the opposite. I would try to act like the bitch. That way, hoping that that'd be like the reverse way of not getting fucked. But then it turns out that didn't work at all. I'd just be like, oh, he's a soft one. Let's fuck him more. I'd be like, oh, great.
I want to know. I seriously want to know. Why did Leah ask this question? That's the most random question.
Well, hey, Z, what you got? So you don't want to be in prison with me, baby? What's up with that? Hey, bro, I'll be in prison with you, bro. I'll stay in a cell with you. You know, and you know the funny thing was too, we all get sent to prison after this, and then we find out Z picked Wayne to stay with. We'd all be staring at your ass every day, looking at you like,
I would get
Wayne got that we ain't got.
I would get shanked.
Yeah, you would get shanked by Cody.
Cody would shank me with his Jewish star.
Yeah, exactly. He'd be like, Shalom, man.
That's just a weird...
I'd be like Ashley Larry shooting dice and shit in the corner. Like, I went from Ashley to Classy, baby.
I think the better question is, out of the five of us, who's most likely to go to prison? And that it would be Wayne.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, come on. It's Wayne. He's a stereotype. He's got the tattoos, bald-headed. He looks like a Ku Klux Klan member, so come on.
And he does live in Australia, and they have a lot of criminals down there.
Exactly. He's one of them. He's going to end up calling, their mayor or something like that, like a cunt one day, and not even know it's her. And they're going to just arrest his ass. It's going to be Wayne. He told him in jail. I think Cody would just go to jail for being black, so.
No, that's you.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, I stay in Long Beach. I don't stay in L.A. They're good. That's Cody. Plus, you know, because Cody lives in the rich area of L.A. too, so they'll probably mistakenly be like, why is this nigga here?
No, and plus, Cody, since he's, you know, Jewish, he would represent himself and make him even more fucked up.
The problem about that, too, is that they would probably arrest him just for saying he's Jewish. And they'd be like, this lying sack of shit right here. There's no black Jews.
He'd be like, Shalom, baby, Shalom. And they'd be like, oh, and then they'd throw the Quran at his ass. You know, he'd take the fucking book or whatever and shit and shove it up your ass or whatever. Yeah, they would take him to jail straight up because he lives in that valley area and shit. So, yeah, they would take him, without a doubt.
Sorry, Cody, your time's coming, don't worry.
Plus, they have a lot of fires out there and shit, so they'll just probably say he started it. So.
He was trying to light the candle, the Jewish candle. Exactly.
And plus, since he's always fucking drunk, they'd be like, they'll just take it. Like, even though he started fire, they'll just take a breathalyzer and be like, oh, well, he was also drunk while he did it, too, so there you go. He's guilty.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cody would go to jail first.
It's a toss-up to get those two, but.
Yeah. Luke. I think Luke can talk his way out of going to jail.
You think?
Yeah. He'll talk his way out of it. He'll talk so much to that person, whatever, that they'll just forget that they even taking him to jail. They'd be like, oh, well, hey, carry on about your day, sir.
We'll change the subject. They'll talk about Skeletor or something like that.
Yeah, they'll talk about a lot of crazy shit, and they'll just be like, well, this dude is fucked up. Fuck jail. Put him in an insane asylum.
it'll probably be Cody, Wayne, you, me, Luke.
Yeah. Luke is like the Joker of the host.
He's crazy but smart.
Yeah, we don't know what the fuck he'll do. He's fucking crazy. Cody is two-faced because he don't know if he's black or Jew, so he's two-faced. So. You know, one moment he says he's black, the next thing he's Jew. So yeah, Cody's two-faced.
You're Riddler.
I was about to say, maybe Wayne is more Riddler because that nigga confuses me every goddamn day.
Okay, I can see that. Okay. Are you Bane?
Who's Bane?
You?
Nah, hell no. Come on now, man. I'm Robin, man. I gotta do shit that I'd be like, you know, damn well I shouldn't be doing. So, yeah. I'm Robin.
I'm Scarecrow.
Yeah. You look like you'd be trying to drug people.
No, that's you.
Nah. Don't put that on me, man. I'm Scarface. I'm a puppet.
You know what? You're Red Hood.
Yeah, yes. I'd be Red Hood? Because even though I'd be killing people, I'd be still trying to convince y'all I'm doing a good thing here.
You would be the Red Hood.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'll go with Red Hood because I'd be like, you know what? No. You guys would be like, you're a fucking murderous psychopath. I'm like, I'm doing it for a right cause, though. Helping the city out.
Yeah.
Because somehow in my crazy ass mind, I'll try to trick myself into believing that I'm doing something good for the people. So, yeah. It's a good one, Z.
Yeah. I'll be Poison Ivy or something. I don't know.
Oh, then you're definitely getting fucked, man. Yeah, you're getting fucked. Yeah. You getting seriously fucked, dude. That sucks for you, man. Last question we got here is from David. He says, what is the boldest review could Throwback Tuesday possibly do in the nearby future? A porno.
I think the boldest one we do is Monstered.
Oh, he said, what in the future, though? What is the boldest thing you think you can do? I said porno. There you go.
Probably, that'd be an interesting review.
Yeah, because you'll be wondering, are you going to get X'd up P1 or horny P1 or stroking his dick off on the podcast to a P1? Which one you going to get? You never know. It's like a bag of M&M's and shit.
That is obviously probably be our boldest one.
Oh, it's coming, too.
I'm sure. Cause,
yeah, you say that, but
I'm not lying. There's a shitload of parody movies that we could do.
Of what?
Of porns.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, it's coming. So.
Avengers? Batman?
I'm bullshitting when I keep saying.
No. I believe you.
No, I know you do. But I'm talking about people in general. They think I'm bullshitting when I say that. And I'm not bullshitting. Yeah, it's coming. I'm just saving it for a special day.
Could you imagine the other votes we would get for that?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be fucking awesome, man. Like Nut Gobblers 2. You ever seen that?
No.
Oh, that one's badass. A lot of nuts involved, though.
The only thing I know is you gotta find, if you pick one, and I pick one, we gotta find ones that are very easy to access.
Oh, they're very easy to access. The only problem is, you know what the biggest problem on doing that is, can you finish watching it? Before you finish yourself off, you know what I'm saying? That'd be the real test. Did you finish watching it, Z?
I got about 15 minutes in. Oh, good. I got about 12. So, yeah, we're good.
It's a high seat.
Yeah, high seat. Double high seats all around, baby.
Oh, we know it. We know it. I know it's coming. I'm just waiting for that day.
That's going to be the weirdest day to watch in your house, too, by the way. Especially if you got people over. And you got to convince them that you're doing this for work.
It is. It's for work.
It's for work. Don't judge me. Just because I got it on the big TV. And my, you're like, why is your dick hard, Dan? It's for work.
Watch it be a gay porno.
Damn, see, shut up. You spoiled my thing. Damn, there is a gay parody porn out there.
I think that would be the one I would refuse to watch. And I'll be like, yep, I seen it. Yep, yep.
There's a Magic Mike one out there.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, so, yeah, people, coming to a Throwback Tuesday near you in the nearby future. So, yes, I can't wait.
That might be the highest. I mean, you could, because we did After Porn Ends, and you said that was a high-rated show.
Yeah, it was very liked by all.
And we got, you know, getting retweeted by that movie.
They must. Like, Z talked so much shit about the porn stars, and I was trying to defend them, because Z talked a lot of shit about them. That's cozy.
They must not listen to the review.
What are you talking about? They did. You talk shit. I defended them. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that review.
It's kind of like how you said Hook was great.
I did. Remember?
No, I remember you bashed that movie.
No, I did not. No, Kayla agreed with me. You off, man. Yeah, you talk like me and Kayla talking about. You just don't know how to have fun. That's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No, but that you can't. I mean, movie wise, we've done bold ones with Monstered and like Human Centipede.
Human Centipede was bold as fuck. Now,
yeah,
and that was some bold shit right there.
And we've done different ones, like you done when animals attack.
That was funny as fuck. I ain't gonna lie, that shit had me laughing my ass off. I still watch that shit today.
Oh, they don't do it. They don't show. They used to show them on network TV all the time. They stopped doing that shit.
Yeah, they get like once a month maybe or something like that. But when it's on, I'm there to watch that shit because that shit is glorious. Like it's like people still fucking with animals. After all these fucking videos and documentaries, people still fucking with animals.
Was it? Like, Spike TV that shows that a lot. I know they did World Worst.
They used to back in the earlier.
That worst police crashes or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. They had a lot. They ran on a lot of shit on those things, but you know. Well, people, it's getting late for Z. He needs to go to sleep. He got a busy day tomorrow, so.
I do.
Yeah, so you need to take your ass to sleep, Z. So you know what you need to do is. You need to let me tell you where you can find me at, Z, because you can find me on the Twitter sphere at Movie Spoiler Pod. That is the only social media network that is as popular at the moment to find me, because Twitter is the best place ever. Movie Spoiler Pod, that's right. Tweeting all your dreams and glory there. Or you can also go through that maze that they like to call Google Plus, baby, and you can circle me, bitch. I'm always there circling bitches.
Don't you mean the labyrinth?
Yes. Or, you know what, hey, you like listening to us on the road or something like that, then you know what you need to do, baby. You need to head over to moviespoilerspodcast.podomatic.com, baby, and subscribe to our RSS feed so you can download us via mobile. Yes, I like to hear that. Z, where can they find you at, baby?
You can find me at Twitter.
Oh, baby.
At SBulldog99 or Films Shattered. Ooh. Or Google Plus. Join me on the maze when I'm still lost in the maze. I'm chilling with David Bowie in the labyrinth, you know, at Chad Zuber.
Ooh.
So, I mean, we're not going to do any shout outs for another social media network, but because they fail.
Are you talking about Facebook? Oh, fuck Facebook. Facebook can eat a dick.
Fuck you, Zuckerberg. That's when you're going to go to jail. You're going to attack.
People, that's been Throwback Tuesday, episode 104.
Later, bitches.
Flight 420 to Amsterdam, now boarding at gate 13.
Sir, I need you to step aside, please. Just a random security check.
Random, huh?
No. Come on, just do what the guy says.
What are you, a racist?
Racist? Dude, I'm black.
He's black. He's not racist.
Please. You're barely even brown.
in 8 hours, we're gonna be in Amsterdam. This is amazing.
This is bigger than I thought. North Korea and Al-Qaeda working together.
We're Americans, man. We love Americans.
Hey, zip it, Hello Kitty.
Welcome to Guantanamo Bay. You boys like to spoon?
No. We were locked up for less than an hour, and they already escaped.
We're gonna die. We're gonna die.
Hi.
Oh.
What's up with the orange jumpsuits?
Yeah. What's up with this party?
I'm sick of all the hype over topless.
I always like topless.
Well, I'm starting the bottomless trend.
God. Oh my God, dude!
Drink it in.
Ask the Lees what they know about their son's terrorist activity.
네가 아들이 그래서 안 한 줄 알아.
Look, we've been American citizens for over 40 years.
They're speaking some sort of dialect I've never heard before.
From the geniuses who took you to White Castle, John Cho.
He's not a terrorist. He's just an idiot.
Cal Penn.
You remember that time that you stole that monkey and put it in Rosenberg's dorm room?
Had I known that the monkey had AIDS, I never would have done that.
Rob Corddry.
Everybody down!
And Neil Patrick Harris as Neil Patrick Harris.
If you want to know the secret of being, you will come with us.
I fall for love. No one. I fall for love. No one.
Dude, we gotta get out of here before the owners of this house find us.
No way.
Condalicious, is that you?
Harold and Kumar escape from Guantanamo Bay.
They thought you guys were terrorizers.